ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, sorry, Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text 10, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Utkramantam sthitam va api bhunjanam va guna anvitam vimudhaha na anupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam va gunanvitam. Oh, there's no Sanskrit. Oh, Sanskrit verses, the Devanagari is missing. Vimudha nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshushaha, utkramantam sthitam vapi, bhunjanam vagunanvitam. Vimurha nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. First translation. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshushaha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna consciousness. Be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam imurhananu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshrasa. Well, congratulations to all of you who made it through the storm. This kind of storm is normal in India this season, the rainy season. If it's too sunny, we don't get many devotees coming because enjoy the sunshine, and if it's too much rain, they don't come. So thank you all for coming, and Today I would like to talk about death. Very enjoyable subject, is it? How many deaths have you seen in your life, Murari Gupta Prabhu, approximately? The doctor, you see, you're a rural doctor. If you're in the city, you'd see more. One every month, something like that? For the last how many years? 20 years or so as a doctor. If we see death, we think it's something very disturbing. It is disturbing, should be disturbing. It's especially, in my observation, very disturbing for people here in the Western countries, because actually if they're Christians and if they think they're good Christians, then they should be happy, right? You're going to where? Heaven. You know what it's like up there, but it should be good. But somehow, maybe they don't really believe they're going there, because people are afraid, fear of death. How can we overcome fear of death? Notice in this purport that Srila, or in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't directly refer to death, he calls quitting the body. It's a completely different concept or understanding. If we say death, that gives the idea of finality, finished, all over. But quitting the body, it gives a completely different understanding, how one is going from one body to another. that's the understanding of what's commonly called reincarnation, but still we find that people who at least superficially believe in reincarnation, namely Hindus, Buddhists, Jains, Sikhs, who else? That's about it. That's the main ones. They may be afraid of death because due to illusion we identify with this body. But in general I would say that the fear of death is not so strong, or the phobia about death is not so strong in cultures where death is understood to be not really death but just going on somewhere else. And actually, like I say, in Christianity you should also think the same thing, right? You're going on to a better place. But somehow people are very afraid. There's even a term, I don't know if you've heard of this, thanatophobia. There are so many phobias, which our dear friends, the psychologists, have given terms to this. Claustrophobia is a well-known term, fear of being crammed in a small space. Or there's another one, if fear of open spaces, fear of heights, that's quite common. Fear of spiders, fear of snakes, fear of exams. That's something to be afraid about. So thanatophobia means those who have an abnormal fear of death. I don't know what abnormal means. Everyone should be afraid of death, actually. Why? Because there's deep down inside people are afraid that they may not be going to heaven. There may be some nasty beings who are going to drag them somewhere else. And actually that is the fate of sinful people. So in one sense it's good to be afraid of death, but not exactly afraid of being in this material world at all. Be afraid of the whole process, death, rebirth, it's be afraid of the Maya that causes us to be born and die again and again. Srila Prabhupada even said that his disciples, they're not afraid enough. One is a person in spiritual consciousness is supposed to be fearless, Srila Prabhupada's name given by his, I don't know exactly, because it may not be the parents or whoever gave it, Abhay Charan. Abhay is a name for Krishna. means fearless. So one is supposed to be fearless. Particularly sannyasis are supposed to be fearless. The first quality of a sannyasi mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, it's the quality of godly people, but the commentators have particularly identified with this, with sannyasis. Abhayam sattva sankshirti jnana yoga vyavastitihi. Sannyasis, the first thing they're supposed to be, fearless, abhayam. Sattva sankshirti, purification of existence. Abhayam sattva sankshirti jnana yoga vyavastitihi, and fixed in spiritual knowledge. So people are not fixed in spiritual knowledge, they become afraid of death. But there are this thanatophobia is a term for people who any thought, or even if anyone mentions it, they become upset or afraid. maybe in a previous life, in a previous life, we must have all always suffered death, but there are horrible ways to die also, and there. Within the cultures of the world, not in India, as far as I know, but in various cultures of the world, they've actually very intelligently devised various horrible ways to kill people in the most painful and prolonged methods. They've actually applied their intelligence to methods of torturing people to death. So it may be, it's quite likely if we consider how many. We don't know. Anadi karma phale. Since time immemorial, we're in this material world. So we must have suffered horrible deaths, as well as peaceful deaths. Yeah, peaceful death. There is such a thing. That term is there. Anayase maran. It means an easy death. But there's horrible death. So maybe someone is. In their subconsciousness from a previous life, they have the fear of death because they suffered a very horrible death. Or the fear of death also because one identifies with the body and their material attachments, and one's whole sense of identity is that I am this body, these are my relatives, these are my friends, this is my residence, and therefore people become ghosts because they're attached to a particular place and they come back again. So the fear of losing one's identity, that I'll cease to exist altogether. Of course, Mayavadis, they want to lose their identity. They want to become zero, zilch. But one reason why people are afraid of death is that they really don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going to happen after death, and they're afraid it's going to be something bad. That's mentioned in this verse. Utkar mandang sitam vapi bunjanam vagodan vitam vimurha nanu pashanti jnana chakshushaha. People who don't see through the eye of knowledge because they don't have knowledge. They've never been taught. What is birth and death? What is the whole process? No one ever teaches them. they don't know. So they don't know what's going on. They see this world as a place for their enjoyment, and they see there's also suffering, but they don't realize about the process of birth and death. And this doesn't mean just people who are raised in cultures where there is not belief in reincarnation, but that even in cultures where there is belief in reincarnation, namely, primarily Hindu and Buddhist, people are not taught about it, how it happens, what's going on. Actually, there is one culture in Bhutan that it's central to the culture that people should regularly, they're trained from childhood to regularly think about death. Smaran nityam anityadvam. We should always remember that everything here is temporary. That's a Buddhist culture. Of course, they don't know what happens. Well, they have some idea that we get our next birth according to our karmic dues. That general idea is there. But still you'll find that almost all the Buddhists in the world, they're not vegetarians, which it seems strange. If they at least they should know they're going to get some karmic result. And by killing animal pain, they're inflicting pain on other living beings. Somehow it's a big illusion that they'll enjoy. Once I asked a woman in Thailand, that you see, you're eating pigs, a favorite among the practically unlimited varieties of living beings that people in Thailand are fond of eating, all kinds of, anyway, I won't mention it here. But pigs is the favorite of the China, Thailand, all these places. So I asked one woman, so you like to eat pig's meat? She said, yeah. And he said, don't you know you'll become a pig in the next life? He said, yeah, maybe. So aren't you afraid of that? He said, no, why not? Oh, that'll also be fun, also be enjoyment. A big illusion that it's an enjoyment to be a pig and then slaughtered. So people don't know. There's no scientific research which can show what happens after death. And actually, the scientists, they don't even investigate, do they? It's part of scientism's dogma that nothing happens. Their death is all finished. It's just all over. There has been scientific research by Ian Stevenson and others, but it's not accepted by scientists because they're scientismists, not scientists. They don't like to accept anything which goes against their worldview. And so it's largely not known about what happens after death. And people don't like to talk about it. If we advertise a public lecture, information about what happens after death, wouldn't be very popular. If you showed a public screening of a big football game, that you might get. I guess when this World Cup was going on, there were plenty of people to watch, right? That was a big thing, the biggest thing that ever happened in the history of Croatia, right? But if we, especially when people are watching that World Cup soccer, we tell, look, I want to give you some important information about death. They'll punch you in the face, quite likely. You know, why disturb me? I'm doing something. You know, this is the most important thing that ever happened in the history of our country, and you're going to talk about some mumbo-jumbo philosophy. People really don't want to know. Not only do they not know, but they don't want to know. They'd rather just cover it up. Ostrich. The ostrich approach. So we're told. I never saw it myself, but we're told that an ostrich, if threatened with death, buries his head in the sand. You think he'd run like hell, but that's what they say. That an ostrich, so we're ostriches burying our head in the sand. And then there's so many discussions on all kinds of subjects and controversies and arguments and debates and all kinds of things. But what's going to happen? Well, you're going to die soon. And no one's even talking about that. It's all the big look at the big politicians in the world, Trump and Putin and all these people. They're all old people. Mostly they're all old people. It means they're going to die soon and they're busy working for their country. You're going to die, and then what's going to happen? You're going to come back in your country as who knows what. You're going to come back and serve the American people by becoming an ingredient in their hamburger. They don't know. They don't believe that. They don't believe it, and they don't believe it, and as far as they're concerned, their belief is enough. But there are facts. What's going to happen after death? There are facts, and this knowledge is given in Bhagavad Gita and in more detail in other Vedic sources. So we get all kinds of superstitions and fairy tales, and mostly people don't even want to think about it, and they feel very uncomfortable because it's almost a taboo to even talk about it. And once I was giving a talk in a suburb of London, Sunday evening around this time, this was quite a few years ago, and I said that, news for everyone, you're all going to die soon. I introduced it like that, and they didn't like it at all. One young girl present who had been raised as a devotee, she's 20-something, raised as a devotee since childhood, said, "Why are you saying that? Don't say that." She became very upset. I only just started the talk. I didn't even have time to go. Became very upset just to even talk about it. The fact is, we're all going to die soon. We're going to get born again, and then we're going to die. And we're going to get born again, we're going to die. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It goes on and on and on until we surrender to Krishna. So people prefer just to avoid the whole topic. Then there's no hope of them getting jnana chakshu, or the eyes of knowledge, because they really don't want it. Because it's just like the people watching the football game. They're so absorbed. They really don't want to hear about anything else or think about anything else. So the whole of material existence is something like that. Abhinivesha, the absorption in that which is external and of no real meaning to us. Just like the football game, it's of no real meaning. What's going on is that there's a piece of leather which has been fashioned into a ball, and people are kicking it here and there, and someone made some rules that if you put the ball in this place, then you get a goal, which it's just all made up. It's just a convention that everyone accepted. If you do that more times than the other team, then you win the game. But it doesn't really make any difference to whether you're healthy or wealthy or definitely not wise. But we identify with it because our team won the game. It has no real meaning, actually. It's just we invented some meaning to it all. So Maya's like that. It has no real meaning whether we're healthy or wealthy. It's all like some children's games. The children, they dress up. One may become a king, and one may become a rebel or something like that. But it's all just imagination, in as much as it's all temporary and it's got nothing to do with our real existence. But we're absorbed in it, so we become afraid of the idea of death. Just imagine if you, you won the prize. Now we're going to send you on a holiday. All expenses paid. We're going to send you a holiday, but the only thing is you have to go alone. We're sending you to a country you never heard the name of. We're not going to give you any information of it. There's no internet information. You're just going there and you won't come back. So it's something like that. We have to go alone. We don't know where we're going. We won't come back. First prize. I don't think you have no choice. You have to take it. You're forced to take it. Just get on that plane and go. Who would like? It sounds like a horror story, doesn't it? Horror movie. They make these horror movies. I don't know why they bother with horror movies. I mean, everyone's life is a horror movie. If you think, even the so-called happy people, the very fact that we have to die It's horrible if we don't know where we're going. Now, maybe why people are so afraid of it is because Christian teachings, they give the idea that this idea of burning in hell forever and become afraid if you somehow you make some mistake, you don't know what you're doing. I was afraid as a kid because as a Catholic, we were told that, well, you have to be a Catholic, otherwise you go to hell. But then I knew in the Protestant church, they tell you, you have to be Protestant. If you're a Catholic, you go to hell. So it was really scary because I didn't know which one was right. And I just, you know, if you get it wrong, then you really, you go to hell forever. And it's really bad down there. And there's no real way of understanding who's right. You just have to believe one or the other. It's like flipping a dice and hoping God's on my side. But God doesn't seem to like either the Catholic, either he hates the Catholics or he hates the Protestants because he sends them all to hell forever. And it's really scary. I mean, as a kid, I was afraid, actually. And that's why we find in America especially, many people have rejected the whole idea of Christianity and God, this idea of a God who throws you into hell forever and burning. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it's horrible. But actually, there is such a situation as that. People may not believe in God, they may not believe in hell, but there's hell right here in this world. There are many situations. Like who wants talking about the free holiday to a place you don't know? Who wants a free holiday to Yemen? Who wants to go? Any volunteers? The situation is just like hell. The whole situation is just like in a peaceful country like Croatia, everything seems very nice, especially in the summer when it's sunny and it's not raining. Everything seems very nice, but there are some situations in the world which are extremely hellish. So people may not believe in hell, but there is hell right here. And what to speak of a situation like that? There are diseases which are just hellish. Cancer, so painful. Now there's treatment for that. But I saw one devotee who was dying of cancer, and even though he was drugged up on all kinds of painkillers, it was still very painful. So that's one kind of hellish situation. It must have been around this time last year. I was staying a little earlier, a little more than a year ago. I was staying in one of our farms in India, and just outside the cottage where I was, I saw a frog, and there were red ants crawling all over his body. Means they started to eat his body. And I suspected that the frog was still alive, so I just poked in his eyes were closed, he just slightly opened one eye. He was dying, and the ants understood that the frog had no energy to move anywhere. So even though he was still alive, he was being eaten alive by red ants. That's a hellish situation, isn't it? I heard in the Second World War, we used to hear so many stories because the British soldiers were captured, British and American soldiers were captured by Japanese, and we heard some of the things they did. They'd put someone naked in the jungle, tie him up on the ground so he couldn't move anywhere, and then put syrup all over his body so the ants would come and eat him alive. Hellish situation. The ants, there are certain, I don't know if you get in this country, they're quite big ants. In America they call them fire ants. You get them, they're quite big and they're red, and their bite, it's so, do you get them in this country? The bite is so painful. It hurts so much. Just one little bite it'll hurt you for days. It's extremely painful. And then to have your whole body eaten like that. So hell, yeah, there's hell. So maybe thanatophobia is not such a bad idea, to be afraid of death. Although it's these phobias are considered to be, there are so many, what they say, claustrophobia, fear of spiders, fear of snakes. Well, it also makes sense to be afraid of snakes, but to be overly afraid, so you just can't. You're always, if you're in the countryside especially, it'd be very difficult to live in the countryside in India if you have a phobia about snakes, because in most parts of India, in the country, there are snakes here and there. It's quite common to come across them. But if you get a phobia, then you can't take a step here or there. You're always afraid, looking here and there, like that. So that's considered a kind of mental illness. Well, in one sense, it is sane to be afraid. What was that book, Catch 22? Anyone read that? There was a... You have to go on bomber missions. This is the Second World War. The U.S. Air Force attacking Sicily or something. You're forced to go on bomber missions. The drafted... You're forced to go on bomber missions, and the only way you can get out of it is if you are insane, if you're deemed to be insane. So, actually, if you're sane, you think you should be so afraid of going because you're going to die, quite likely. How does it work? If you're afraid... You're so afraid of going that you become almost insane. I can't remember how it works out. But anyway, either way, you have to go. They don't let you out of it. But you should be afraid, because you're going and you're going to fly your plane. And this is a long time ago, so you just have to fly your plane low over the target, and there are people shooting you down, and you have a high chance of dying. So you should be afraid. But then they glorify war just to get the people to... You're dying for your country. You're dying for your country means there are a few rich people who sit and tell you you're dying for your country, and they make the money from the war. And nationalism makes you feel, yeah, I'm dying for my country. And they, if you survive, they give you a medal. And if you're sane, then you think, hey, I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I doing this for? Of course, you might think that, well, if the enemy wins, then they'll torture us all. So it's just a matter of choice. Just like previously in India, the British were exploiting. So the Indians feel very happy now that instead of being exploited by British, they're exploited by fellow Indians. They're fellow Indians who are exploiting. Still they're being exploited. That's going on in the material world. So, but to be too afraid means we can't get the Jnana Chakshu, the eye of knowledge. If we're just afraid, on one side, if we just, yeah, bravado, I'm not afraid of death, I'm not afraid. That's on one side. But if we become so afraid, then we can't even think about it, we can't even discuss it. So, soba, dhiras tatra namohyati. Tata dehantara praptihi. That's another way of saying dying. We attain another body. But one who's dhira, one who's very sober, calm, he is not bewildered by such a change. He's sober because he has jnana chakshu. He knows what's happening. He knows that it's not actually death in and of itself that is to be feared, but it's forgetfulness of Krishna, which is the cause of incarceration in this material world. That is to be feared. If out of fear of something we just avoid it, that's not a very good program. Just like, for instance, we might be afraid, I'm going to get a big electricity bill. Oh, that's so we're afraid. And so when the bill comes, it used to come in the mail. There was a long time ago. Now I think they just cut it automatically from your salary, is it? I don't know whether. So the bill comes in the mail, and then you see the envelope, and you just stick it somewhere and forget it. Because it's too much. Too many things. It's just too much harassment. This bill, that bill, another bill. But then the consequence of just, I just want to forget it, but the consequence is you get the electricity cut off. So it's not a good idea just to pretend it doesn't exist. Ostrich philosophy. So everyone knows that we have to die, but only a few people try to soberly think about it and try to make a solution. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Very few people even get beyond the point of avoiding this phenomenon and just thinking about it soberly and trying to make a solution. The solution means to come to the platform of knowledge and act on the platform of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to quote from a lecture that he gave in this regard. A quote in this regard, Srila Prabhupada stated that out of many thousands and millions of people, one is anxious to make his life successful. Nobody is interested. Practically, they do not know what is actually success of life. In the modern civilization, everyone is thinking, if I get a good wife and a nice motor car and a nice apartment, that is success. This was spoken in 1975. Is there any difference in 2019? If I get a good wife and a nice motor car and a nice apartment, that is success. But Srila Prabhupada said, that is not success. That is temporary. Real success is to get out of the clutches of Maya, or this material conditional life which comprehends birth, death, old age, and disease. We are passing through many varieties of life, and this human form of life is a good chance to get out of this chain of changing one body after another. So, we're very fortunate, we who are assembled here, because although the whole tradition in the Western world for 2,000 years or so has been one of ignorance of these important facts, essential facts. You get the human form of life, and there's the if we take this knowledge, we can get out of this cycle of birth and death, but that knowledge has been suppressed. So that people have really no idea about it, but Srila Prabhupada has very kindly brought the Vedic knowledge. And there are so many Indian gurus who came to the West, but only Srila Prabhupada gave this Vedic knowledge. Not only the knowledge, but he again and again made this point, utilize our human form of life. Don't just wasted. So he gave this this knowledge, and there's so much knowledge in the Vedic literature about how we're transferring from body to body to body. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is famous for the describing the love spots of Krishna, just like I'm seeing here a picture of the Rasa Leela, Krishna's Rasa Leela. That's the most famous part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But we find throughout the Bhagavatam there is so much knowledge of changing bodies. We find Chitraketu, the story of his son who died and then again came back to life. And when he was said, "This is your father," he said, "Which father? I had so many fathers, one after another." We find the story of Jarabharat, who was an advanced transcendentalist, but circumstantially in his next life became a deer, and in the life after that became like a madman, deliberately adopted the role of a madman so that he would not have to interact with others. We find in the beginning of the 10th canto, there's a very good description of how a living being transfers from body to body to body, just like a caterpillar goes from one leaf to another on a plant. You've seen a caterpillar, they'll arch their body off of one leaf, put the front part of their body down, and then take the back part of their body. So these descriptions are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, actual examples of people who give knowledge of various lives they've been through, or descriptions of various lives. Ajamil was about to be dragged to hell, but he recovered from that situation. The Srimad Bhagavatam, this knowledge, it's didactic. That means it's supposed to be educational in a manner that benefits us. We can take heart that we can transcend the condition of birth and death. It's possible to do it. We're stuck up with so many sinful reactions, which cause us to be born again and again and again, which means to die again and again. But Krishna says, "Mame kam sharanam raja ahanta sarva papebhyo moksha yashami." I will deliver you from all sinful reactions if you surrender to me. Only. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also in connection with the story of Ajamil, we have the Sanketyam Parihasyam Vastobam Helanam Evava Vaikuntanaba Grahanam Asheshaga Harang Viduhu. The statement that learned people who actually know what's going on in this world, they say that by taking the name of Krishna, by speaking the name of Krishna, even not directly in devotion, but to indicate something else, maybe in the course of a joke, maybe to praise someone else, or neglectfully, but even in such indirect ways, or not properly devotional ways, anyone who somehow or other chants the name of Krishna is freed from unlimited sins. That's good news, isn't it? I read something, some Christian missionaries were writing about how difficult it is to convert people to Christianity. They say you have to believe in Jesus, and Jesus relieves you from all sins. But then in Hinduism, If you bathe in the Ganga, you get relief from all sins. He gave that example. There are so many other things. So he said, if people think they can get bathed in the Ganga and they get relief from all sins, difficult to convert them to Christianity because, you know, they got a much easier process in there. And what to speak of bathing in the Ganga, even if one never sees the Ganga, just by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one is relieved from all sins. So, what is this knowledge, jnana chakshu, how is it all going on? Well, the whole process is of what happens after death. It's summarized in one verse in Bhagavad Gita. So important, this Bhagavad Gita. We should distribute it very widely, as Srila Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport of this verse. One verse gives the essence of it all. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevarang tang tame vaite kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever we think of at the time of death, according to that, we get our next body. And then, of course, it's understood that we, at the time of death, we tend to think of that which we're most attached to. So the force of our activities and thoughts that carries us to our next body. Actually, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based on Parikshit Maharaj wanting to know how to die. Is it not? He has cursed to die in 7 days. And what should I think? What should a person think of, especially Mriyamanam, someone who's about to die? What should they think of? There's based on the understanding of this verse that what we think of carries us to our next body. So, what would we do if we are informed you have 7 days to live? You're sentenced to death and the time is set at 7 days from now. Well, we probably get more serious about our sadhana. What would we do? What would we do different? Of course, with Parikshit Maharaj, it wasn't that he was locked up in a cell. But he had the news, he was cursed by a Brahmin boy, and he had faith. He just took it as a fact that, okay, I'm cursed to die in 7 days, so I'll die in 7 days. So he did make a big change in his life. He was the king, he was a responsible, devotional king, but then he made a big change. And he just dedicated himself wholly to preparing himself for death. So, what would we do if we're informed like that? Well, we may not get information. We may not have 7 seconds to live. We say that, but we don't really think like that. But actually, it's a fact. We really don't know when it's going to happen. The moment of death. What we do know is that there will be a moment of death. That's for sure. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for everyone who's taken birth, death is certain. You don't need to read Bhagavad Gita to know that unless you're a complete idiot. There are some people who literally think, or they think that literally they won't die. I saw a book once, Banu Swami in Chennai had it in his library, so I must have given it to him. Said, how to live forever. And it was actually, they thought that by doing massage and yoga and diet, they could live forever. What idiots. What is that? The syllogism of Socrates. Every man is mortal. Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal. So it begins with the axiom, every man is mortal. Prove it. You can take any living being. See, there are so many living beings. There are so many men. They're alive. There's no proof they're going to die. But we accept it as an axiom. We're all going to die. So, We don't like to think about it. And we live as if we're going to live forever. The Yaksha, in the Yaksha Prashna, the section of the Mahabharata where the Yaksha, Dharma, the deity Dharma, in the form of a Yaksha, asks Yudhishthira so many questions. So the most famous question and answer in that whole series is the question, what is the most amazing thing? And the answer, ahani ahani bhutani gacchandeha yamalayam shesha sthavara icchanti kimascharya matavparam. What's the most amazing thing? There are living beings who can fly from one planet, Siddhaloka, they have all mystic powers they're born with. There are eagles that fly in space and they lay their eggs in space and they hatch in huge eagles who pick up elephants to eat. What's the most amazing thing? It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things. The Ganga, you see the Milky Way at night. That's actually the flow of the Ganga in the upper worlds, Akash Ganga, that's called. So that's not the most. The most amazing thing is that every day so many living beings go to Yamaraj, they die. And those who are presently still alive in this body, they want to go on living in this situation. They don't see. Vimurha nanu pashyanti. They don't, not only do they not understand, the fools, not only do they not understand that they're going to, not only do they not understand the process of birth and death, but they don't even believe or accept or want to think about the fact that they are going to die. What a situation. What would we do differently if we know that we would, if we knew for certain we're going to die 7 days from now? Bhajan. You do bhajan. So then the question comes, well, why don't we do it now? We can do. Will we do? We have so many important things. We have so many important things to do. Well, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he fixed his mind on Krishna. What if you were, no, I have so many important things to do. But really, there's nothing important except being Krishna conscious, which means primarily to hear and chant about Krishna. So if we do that, then we need not be afraid of death. The devotee crosses over, puts his head on death. Death crushes everyone, but the devotee, it's stated, he crosses over, puts his foot on the head of death and goes to the spiritual world. So a devotee's situation is very different. A devotee shouldn't be afraid of death. That's if we're actually Krishna conscious. Here's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The material body certainly moves under the control of supreme destiny and therefore must continue to live along with the senses and vital air as long as one's karma is in effect. A self-realized soul, however, who is awakened to the absolute reality and who is thus highly situated in the perfect stage of yoga, will never again surrender to the material body and its manifold manifestations, knowing it to be just like a body visualized in a dream. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this?
bih pitala u trenutku smrti u suptilnom tijelu da li nosimo da li u suptilnom tijelu prenosimo sjećanje o Krišni u drugi život ili u druge živote?
So she asked at the moment of death at our subtle body, do we transfer to another life the remembering Krishna?
At the time of death, in our subtle body, do we go to another body?
When we go to other body, do we transfer also our memories of Krishna?
When we go to another body, do we transfer our memories of Krishna also? Well, actually, it all goes, it's not exactly that we do, but it goes on under the direction of Krishna and various demigods. That's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye. We get another body according to our karma, the activities we performed, daiva netrena, which means under the supervision of the devas, the demigods and the Supreme Lord, ultimately. So, if we, whatever thoughts, they're transferred. Thoughts of Krishna, thoughts of whatever else we may think of. But if we're fully wrapped in thought of Krishna, then we don't, then the subtle body is dissolved, and we leave the material elements and go to the spiritual world. But yeah, whatever spiritual advancement we make, that remains with us. That will be there. And we'll take it up again in another life. Tattvatam buddhi samyogam yajante pauravadehikam. The yogi, whatever he did in a previous life, he comes to remember it again in the next life, which suggests that all of us here, in previous lives also, we took up Krishna consciousness because we've taken an interest in it in this life. That's generally a sign of having executed yoga in a previous life. By yoga, I don't mean stretches and all that kind of thing, but the attempt to link with Krishna, or at least to cultivate Brahmagyan, knowledge of the spiritual. So that might make us feel happy, oh, I was a devotee in my previous life, but in another way, it should make us think, well, I blew it last life, I didn't make it. Let me do it, let's not blow it again. I should be very serious and not take birth again. Then, anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for a very nice lecture. I think definitely...
Nice? It wasn't meant to be nice.
I think it's
very
nice.
Very nice lecture.
I think it's nice.
Nice, nice.
Because, yes, many people today, they really live like they're not going to die. And
people today and at the time of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and that's the material world. People live as if they're not going to die.
Right. So there used to be some Christian sect that was very much focused on dying. I don't know if they still exist.
One Christian sect. Focused on dying.
How?
Yeah, I don't know which one you're referring to. There's so many Christian sects.
Ah, there's so many, right. So, anyway, I think it's a very good point of preaching.
It's a good point of preaching to emphasize that we're all going to die.
Right.
Yeah. It's a very sobering thought.
Yes,
it should be.
Definitely.
It should be. There are people, if you told them they only have 7 days to live, they'd take out a big bank loan and go and smoke cigars and have sex and squeeze it all in 7 days. There might be. There used to be some program on TV, I can't remember the names, every Sunday it used to come on, about someone who knows he's going to die in 1 year, and then all the adventures he has to cram it all in 1 year. I can't remember. Danger Man, I think. I can't remember.
I don't know. I saw a similar movie, and the man wanted to enjoy as much as possible before he could die, right? So, yeah. Obviously, he believes that he's going to cease to exist or anything. But
yeah. It's a very dangerous idea that we cease to exist when the body is finished, everything is finished. Srila Prabhupada quoted Professor Kotovsky as having said that. Srila Prabhupada is actually quite surprised, it seems, that even though Professor Kotovsky was presented with logical arguments as to the eternality of the living being, he insisted when the body dies, when the body is finished, everything is finished. Srila Prabhupada thought that being an intelligent person, an intellectual, that he should understand the arguments for the eternality of the soul. But Kotovsky was adamant. When the body is finished, everything is finished. Prabhupada quoted that many, many times, that even a learned scholar in the Western countries thinks like that.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Isn't it that like devotees or saintly people that maybe they are warned, they are like, you know, like going to leave the body soon so they can prepare?
Devotees are warned. Yeah, we're warned all the time. Just like that's why we have classes and we read the books. It's going on. It may not be that you get a pop-up in your computer from some demigod that says that dear so-and-so Das, you're going to die in 3 hours, 26 minutes from now. It may not be all the time you're getting warnings, but a specific warning may not be there. I know there are devotees who die in car crashes and all kinds of things. Although old age is a warning for everyone. That's specific. When you start to see gray hairs on the head and wrinkles, instead of the materialist who laments, we should think, oh, sign from Krishna. Sign from Krishna. I'm going, entering that phase, getting closer to death. Now it has been for quite a few years now, but at least I can say when I was kindly admitted into this Krishna conscious movement, it wasn't there celebrating devotees' birthdays like materialists do. But rather we should think, I'm 1 year closer to death from the last time I had this birthday, if we think about it at all. We're moving closer to the test. Unavoidable test. Tasmad apariharyarte natvam shochitam arhasi. Apariharya. It is unavoidable. Where does that come? What's the beginning of that verse? Jata jahi dhruva mritya dhruvan jama mritasya cha tasmad apariharyarte natvam shochitam arhasi. We're born, we have to die. We die, we have to get born. Therefore, in that which is inevitable, we should not lament. Don't lament, do something about it. Anything else?
Sometimes this knowledge can be also from of practical value, just like in Kshatriyas, you know, in their view, because they fight and they know they will, they know they are not this body, but still they will fight, they will do for Dharma and they'll...
Yeah, Kshatriyas are ready to fight and they're not afraid of death because they know Jitova prapsyasi swargam. If you're defeated, you'll go to heaven. So they're not afraid. Jitva va bhokshase mahim. And if you're victorious, you'll enjoy the earth. So either way, there's no loss. For a kshatriya to die in battle is proper death. Glorious. He's not afraid. There's a story, this is quite some years ago, of someone who was sentenced to death in Singapore for drug smuggling. Mandatory death sentence in Singapore. If you're caught with drugs more than a certain amount, means an amount for selling, and you're found guilty, the judge has no choice but to give you a death sentence. There's no other sentence. So there was someone, he was waiting in jail to die, and he got the book, The Science of Self-Realization. He understood, I'm not going to die. So he went fearlessly to the gallows. Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. Vanta kalpa tarubhyascha kipaha sindhu evacha padidhanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Namo namaha. Jai Shri Shri Gauranga.